Okay, I'm looking at your questions here. You know, Sam has got a really good question. He says, Terry, is it normal to have a deep fear about going forth with my book proposal? If so, how do I overcome it? He said he was a bomb squad commander for 5 years and never felt fear like this. It's stifling to me. Sam, years ago, I was sitting with some very experienced writers at a writer's conference late at night, and we were all talking together, and each of these writers told me that every time they start a book, they feel that fear. And I think it's par and parcel with this business. It comes with the territory. You know, as many books as I've written over 60 books. Every time I start a project, the voices raise up within me saying, you can't do it. I don't know if I'll be able to. How will I start? And I tell people, writing books is just like eating an elephant. You just do it one bite at a time. So you do it one page at a time, one chapter at a time. And there's something about that consistency of sitting down there writing and getting it done and having small goals. Say, okay, I'm going to write 250 words today. I'm going to write 1,000 words today. I'm going to write 3,000 words today. Whatever your goal is, however many pages you can write, and consistently doing that, and that'll help you conquer that fear and go ahead and move forward. You can do it. I believe you can do it. You just need to take the bull by the horns and totally go for it. So I hope I've helped you with that particular question. You know, Deb is asking here, let's move to books now and nonfiction books in particular. Deb is asking, what's the best approach for publishing a nonfiction book when traditional publishers are looking for authors with large media platforms? Could I comment on ebooks versus self-publishing? Yes. There is a possibility of doing ebooks. You can, even through our system at Intermedia, you could do your book as an ebook first, and then when you're ready, when you have the wherewithal, come back and do the printed book. That is a perfectly acceptable way to get your book out there and get it out there around the world through the ebook format. As long as your book is good when it gets out there, and I would say the foundation of every single book is a good manuscript. Now, that means that you've tested it. You've tested your material. You're telling stories. You're working on your writing. It's kind of foundational for each of these books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is to really do the best writing that you can. And one of the ways that you can learn to write, if you don't have any idea how to tell stories or how to put articles or anything together, is to write for the magazine market. So many writers overlook the short form. They're focused on an 80,000-word novel or a 40,000-word book when you could be really productive writing a 1,500-word magazine article or a 500-word magazine article. It's a short turn. You know, you have to grab people's attention with that first sentence. You have to have a really great title, tell a little story, tell a point, and you're done. Boom. Get it out there. It'll help you. It'll help you get exposure to the marketplace. It'll really open up new doors for your writing. And there's a lot of opportunity. There's tons of magazines out there that are looking for really great material, but you have to write it. You have to sit down there and do it and get it out. You know, George is asking, how do you find the right publisher? He's looking for a publisher for his second book and wants to get it listed with Ingram, Spring Arbor. He's found some publishers, but fees and paying $8 to $9 for his own book, volume rates is ridiculous. I agree, that's too high. You shouldn't have to pay that, George. There should be a way to get your book for a lower amount and to have the distribution, because at Intermedia, we sell books to the Spring Arbor and Ingrams and all those places to the different distributors all the time. It's a matter of making the right connection and looking for it. Um, you know, Teresa asked, is it very costly to become a writer? I know I have a good story, but what would make my story stand out and affect the lives of other people? Sometimes it's really hard to get it out, what you're trying to say, and how does it work? I guess the best thing I would encourage you to do, Teresa, is to look at your story and see if you could tell some personal experience stories that would become magazine articles. That would give you some really great publishing experience and would really help move you ahead, propel you forward to get your work into print and get it out there. Normally when you publish in magazines, you sell first rights to your material, which means that after it's printed, those rights return to you and you can use them as reprints. You could sell them to another publication. They could become a chapter of a book. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at your material, but you have to write it and get it out there. That's really what I would encourage you to do. You know, I've got way more questions tonight than I'll ever be able to answer, but I really do encourage each of you, if you're listening to me tonight, to pick up a copy of this Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams audio workshop. I give more than a dozen different ways to get your book, get your work published, not just your book, but get your work published through my workshop. It's a live workshop that I did, almost an hour and a half of material, and there's bonus material that I included with this. So I'd encourage you to push the button and get over there to get it. It comes with bonuses. I've got 5 bonus gifts that come with the CD. You get the MP3 in addition to the CD if you buy the CD, or you could just get the MP3 product. Comes with a bonus teleseminar about 2 literary attorneys answering questions. It comes with a sample chapter of their book. It comes with a 75-minute interview where I talk about the difference between self-publishing and traditional publishing. It comes with a 30-minute MP3 where I talk about how to get your book published. A lot of information with a little amount of value, or with a little cost, I guess, is what I'd say, for the CD. I've priced it at $14.95 plus the postage. But if you're wondering about how to jumpstart your publishing dreams and look for some new ideas, I would just encourage you to get this. Okay, let's go back to your questions here. Mary Lou asks, is self-publishing the right thing to do for your first book? If so, what's the total investment? So it's an okay thing to self-publish. There's no right or wrong answers here is the way I look at these questions out here. There are wise and unwise things to do, I guess. There are some unwise things that I would not do. I mean, I've seen some people self-publish material that just looks awful. So carefully look at whatever company it is that you're going to go with. How long have they been around? What kind of rights do they take? Does the author own everything? Some of these outfits lock your rights up for 7 years. You have to be with them for 7 years. That's one of the known entities out there in the self-publishing area. Google their name. See what you find when you use Google. See what people are saying about it. Talk to some of their authors. For example, at Intermedia, I have a novel that we're bringing out next month, or later this month, we're in November now, from Bodie and Brock Taney called Icon. They've published 35 million novels, and we're publishing their next novel this month. So that's a validation of us and who we are and the kinds of material that we're doing at Intermedia. We're not doing just all first-time authors. We're doing some very experienced authors like that. So really do look at all the variables of these companies that you're going to. So self-publishing is an okay option. You know, Elizabeth asked too, do you recommend self-publishing? Query to a publisher, ebook publishing for first-time authors. I think it's okay. Any of those options are fine. it all depends on you and what you want to do and how you want to get your book out there. But just make sure that you're really producing a quality product at the end of the day. Kenneth is asking, is there much demand? He's really talking about the kinds of writing he wants to do is really more biblical doctrinal principles. He studied Bible doctrine, taught in the original languages almost daily for 30 years. Yes, right, you could write articles, but he's asking, is there much demand for those kinds of articles? You know, there's all different kinds of publications out there, Kenneth, that's what I'd say, and I would just look at your own magazines. What kind of magazines do you read yourself? Those would be the magazines that I would encourage you to write for. Look at those magazines, read those magazines. If you don't have the magazine, get to a library, get to a seminary library, depending on what kind of magazine you're looking for. Read a whole bunch of the back issues, get up to speed as far as how the publication works, what kind of things they take, and really do focus on that editor and what kinds of things they're looking for, and you'll be surprised. There is opportunity out there for all different kinds of writing, academic writing, doctrinal writing. You just have to find the right publication for your material. And just enter into that search with joy, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find what it is that you're looking for. You know, Marion asked, what are the guidelines that you use when you quote a line or drawing from another person's intellectual property for your book? That's a good question, Marion. What I would say to you first is that I'm not an attorney. My literary attorney always likes me to say that. But, you know, there's this whole fair use thing. So if you quote a sentence or two out of a full length book, and as long as you quote the person, you're not plagiarizing, but as long as you give them credit for their words and their work, that's basically promotion of that author's work. That's not, you know, there's not anything wrong with that. So you can quote that person. You don't need permission. I always tell people when it comes to permissions, when I worked at the publishing house, the person did permissions also did the royalties and contracts. So you can imagine the bulk of their time was consumed with royalties and contracts, not permissions. Permissions was like way down on the totem pole of stuff that they did in terms of their priorities. So it takes forever often to get permission from a publisher, and often you don't need it. If you're going to just quote a sentence or two, just quote a sentence or two and give them the attribution and document where it came from, and then you'll be fine. I have a ton of questions here, and I'm going through them here. Steve asked, he's about to begin writing a biography. The woman has an incredible story to tell. In a situation like this, where the author tells someone else's story, how do you propose up front to split the revenues? It's her story and my writing. How do you split the dollars? Good question, Steve. There is no right or wrong answer to this. Sometimes the writer gets paid more. Sometimes the writer gets paid less. Sometimes it's a 50-50 split. But you're well advised, and again, I'm not an attorney, but you're well advised to figure out all those answers and how you're going to do that ahead of time, before there's any contract or any money on the table from a publisher. You need to have what they call a collaboration agreement. It could be a simple document between you and this woman. It describes what the duties are. She's going to provide the information. She's going to review your writing in a timely fashion, give you feedback. She's going to give you access to her. You're going to perform in a timely fashion. Who's going to market the work? Is it you as the writer? Is she going to do that? At the end of the day, who's going to own the work? Is she going to own the copyright? You're going to share the copyright? What's going to happen there? All those questions got to be figured out ahead of time. And that's part of what you do in a collaboration agreement with that person. And you bring that with you to the table when you publish. Whether it's a traditional publisher, whether it's a self-publisher, you have to work out all those kinds of arrangements. And there's lots of ways to get that information. And but I encourage you very much to do that kind of thing ahead of time. Okay. Someone asked me here what I think about ChristianWritingSubmission.com. There's the Writer's Edge. There's ChristianWritingSubmission.com. I will tell you, when I was acquisitions editor, I never acquired a single manuscript from that. I have heard of people that have been discovered in those systems. So it's a choice, I guess is what I'd say. But as an acquisitions editor, I did not find it very useful, is what I would say, when I was doing acquisitions for a publishing house. April asked, where do I get help publishing a gift book? Most conferences devote time and topic to only fiction and nonfiction. Gift books, April, are in a different category. They are primarily done by packagers. What I would encourage you to do, April, is go to my blog. I have a blog, The Writing Life, which has about 1,000 searchable entries. There's a search feature on the right-hand side. If you scroll down, you can just search the blog itself. It's at www.thewritinglife.ws. That's my blog on The Writing Life. And go down and search for the word packager, P-A-C-K-A-G-E-R. I've written several blog posts about this, and often what writers don't realize is that the gift book track is a whole different way of publishing that's out there. If you're interested in gift books, maybe you've never thought about doing a gift book, but many of those are produced by packagers. It's a great business thing to do. I did a couple books a while back. I did Lighthouse Psalms and Love Psalms. I wrote 60 psalms, 60 devotions about love. I wrote 60 devotions about light and darkness out of the psalms. I picked some psalms. Each of those projects took me about a month to do those, and I think I made about $5,000 a book. Now, those are all rights, so, you know, they work for hire. But here's the beautiful thing. Each of those books sold about 60,000 copies. So that was really a great writing credit that I got out of doing those couple of books. And they're beautiful. They're full color. They got all kinds of layout. They don't have my name on the cover. If you're looking for a book with your name on your cover, I don't know that you want to be working in gift books, but because people don't purchase those books because of the author, particularly if you're unknown or first-time author. They purchase them because of the topic and the design and the information that's inside of them. So they're driven by something different than just the author's name. So you have to figure out, work through all those issues and figure out if you're okay with that. If you are, hey, it's work, and there's lots of work out there in this particular area. And so I would encourage you to do that. You know, Carol asked a really interesting question here. She'd like to write a memoir about her experiences as a literacy person in the Peru's jungle. Her target audience may be small, but is there a market for such a book? Absolutely, there is such a book market for that, Carol. And, you know, memoir continues to be a hot kind of topic out there. It's all about how you write the memoir and how you write that material. And so I encourage you to really look at the whole category of memoir. I did a book a while back with a friend of mine from my days at Wycliffe Bible Translators that did a book about Bolivia called When God Came Sam, it's a beautiful book, a great writing that she did about her experiences in Bolivia.